A bill in the Florida House of Representatives that would restrict abortions after 15 weeks passed its first committee hearing with 12 votes to 6 along party lines. The bill does include an exception such as when a doctor says the fetus has a fatal abnormality, but it does not allow exceptions for rape or incest. Current Florida law bans abortion after 24 weeks of pregnancy. The bill has companion legislation in the Florida Senate. Senator Kelly Stargell, a Republican from Lakeland, released a statement saying that, quote, women and children deserve better than abortion. She also talked about her own personal experience as a, quote, scared teenage mother who understands the turmoil of an unplanned pregnancy. Representative Erin Grohl, a Republican from Vero Beach, said the bill is a fight for life.
We killed over 25% of Florida's children in 2020, and that's an atrocity. What about the basic human rights and freedoms of those children? What about the privilege that has been stripped away from those children? That child will be born a human being like you and I, with all of the rights and privileges that we have to live in this country.
Meanwhile, Representative Anna Escamani, a Democrat from Orlando, spoke out in opposition to the bill. She said it would strip away freedom from half the state's population.
I have a deep sense of irony in my blood as I hear this debate, especially since it was just last in November when the word freedom was said so many times on the House floor during the COVID-19 special session. Yet here we are about to strip away freedom from more than half of Florida's population. Let us be clear. This is not a moderate bill. There is no such thing as a reasonable abortion ban.
Well, Representative Escamani joins us now. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So you talked in the committee hearing about the bill stripping away freedoms for women in Florida. In your view, how will House Bill 5 affect women in Florida if it passes?
House Bill 5 is an extreme piece of policy that bans abortion after 15 weeks and, as you noted, has very limited exceptions. The reality is that for folks who need an abortion beyond 15 weeks, these are folks who are often navigating some very difficult circumstances. It's people who are poor, who are unable to access an abortion earlier in their pregnancy or did not realize they were pregnant. And the point that I made in committee as well is that this actually doesn't stop abortion. It basically just pushes people to have to find other means to navigate their pregnancy. And if this were to become law and Roe v. Wade were to be overturned, the closest option for those seeking to end a pregnancy after 15 weeks would be North Carolina. And that's assuming North Carolina doesn't also pursue an abortion ban.
So tell me about the discussion that passed in that House committee. I mean, what was the mood in that room like? It seemed like you were fairly passionate about things, but what's your sense of how lawmakers feel about the bill in general?
Well, the point that we always want to stress to folks is that no matter your perspective on abortion, decisions about someone's pregnancy are super private and super personal. And oftentimes when folks are making that decision, they're doing so with their family, with their medical provider, and they're praying on it. They're thinking about how does this intersect with just my beliefs? They're not going to politicians for advice. And I think what really gives me the most frustration is that we're in this body that continuously talks about freedom. You know, we had a special session over COVID-19 mandates, and now here we are with a bill that is mandating government interference within someone's personal decision about their pregnancy. And there are so many other issues we could be championing to truly empower women and girls. You know, I have filed legislation to eliminate Florida's diaper tax. We also have legislation to put into our schools menstruation items. We have policies to try to improve the adoption and foster care system. So there are these commonalities we can find, especially on areas of prevention. I have filed legislation for Florida to have comprehensive age-appropriate sex ed. And of course, there are efforts also to increase access to contraception. And yet the bill that is prioritized, the bill that moves the fastest, is an abortion ban. And of course, we're doing this at a time where Texas has already passed a 6-week abortion ban and Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban was just heard by the Supreme Court of the United States. And when I asked the bill sponsor why 15 weeks, her answer was because Mississippi did it. So this is not about what's in the best interest of a person or even based on medical science. This is purely about trying to ban abortion across the country, starting with 15 weeks in Florida. But I have no doubt they're going to continue going down this path into next session.
So this is really tied in, you're saying, to what's happening at the national level, particularly with the Supreme Court of the United States?
Wholeheartedly. You know, what listeners need to remember is that Florida actually has a really strong right to privacy enumerated in our state constitution, which has actually stopped anti-abortion restrictions from being implemented. The best example was in 2015, Florida lawmakers passed 24-hour mandatory delay, which is a law that requires you to wait 24 hours or more before accessing an abortion after you meet with your medical provider. And this is purely politically motivated. There's no medical guidance to delay care. It's purely based upon a notion of punishing folks who are in this place and also creating transportation barriers and time off work barriers and childcare barriers to express bodily autonomy. That law, though it is still in statute today, has not been fully enforced because of the litigation under this right to privacy clause. What Republican lawmakers are betting on is that the Supreme Court of the United States is going to rule against the protection established by Roe v. Wade, opening up a path for Florida state court to do the same. So that's what we're up against right now. And of course, I think there's also this litmus test for conservatism, where if you don't ban abortion, you're not conservative enough, that I think Republicans, including Governor DeSantis, are facing as he tries to set himself up to run for president of the United States. So I do think that Republican lawmakers are competing on this race to the bottom to ban abortion, that in the day might look good, in a Republican primary, but actually looks really bad to general voters. And of course, has damaging effect for the people of Florida who are going to find themselves unable to make this personal decision.
I just wanted to come back to the notion of freedom and some of the comments you made in the discussion last week. I mean, one thing I've noted is that the folks who are pushing back against, mask mandates and those kinds of ordinances seem to have been using the language that has been used by people who are in favor of freedom of choice when it comes to abortion, like My Body, My Choice. And that is language which was basically used to push back against mask mandates. What do you make of that kind of turning around of that sort of phraseology, and how effective is it then?
Well, it's purely an ideology of convenience. Those who co-opted the terminology, My Body, My Choice, Her Body, Her Choice, to defend themselves in the face of, public safety measures, seem completely silent when it comes to abortion access. And indeed, those same Republican lawmakers who were carrying that banner all through the summer were not only silent in speaking, even for this bill to some degree, but they voted for it without question. So we are up against hypocrisy at its worst. And it's so important for those of us who care about this issue to lead with our values. Abortion access is not a Republican versus Democrat issue when you go outside the legislature. In fact, even in Manatee County, a part of the state that is very conservative, there was an effort at the municipal level to ban abortion. And one of the county commissioners who voted no defined herself as a pro-choice Republican woman. One in four American women have had an abortion in this country, and nobody cares what your political affiliation is when you're trying to make this decision. That is really important to stress, because Floridians overwhelmingly have demonstrated, whether it's through statewide ballot amendments that have tried to water down the right to privacy, or even in just recent polling, have said that they want the standard under Roe v. Wade to maintain the same, and they don't think this should be a political issue. They think this should be a personal, private issue between a person, their family, their doctor, and their faith. It is politicians who want to make this a campaign slogan. For everyday people, they just want to navigate this decision like it is any other dynamic around your personal health and well-being and the decision about your family.
Right, but its politicians have been voted in, and seemingly they've found something that resonates with at least some of their constituents. I wanted to ask too, I mean, the bill did seem like it went through the first hearing along party lines. Didn't seem like there was a lot of opposition or at least folks kind of crossing those lines to vote with Democrats. So, and it has support from the governor, as you noted. So what do you think the trajectory looks like from here on out?
I mean, I think this bill's going to be fast-tracked. I think Republican lawmakers, they want to pass an abortion ban for their primary voters, but they want to do so in a way where there's distance between when the governor signs it and when it's campaign season. At the end of the day, this is an issue that wakes up women from across the state, from every political affiliation, but including those that don't typically vote. We saw this uproar in Texas after Senate Bill 8 of apolitical people stepping up and saying, I am so offended by this and I want to do something about it. And I think the reason why Republican lawmakers, in addition to this right to privacy clause are doing 15 weeks instead of something like Texas, even though a Texas version was already filed in the legislature, is because they don't want to wake the beast. They don't want this to be an issue that carries into the campaign trail. So I have no doubt that Governor DeSantis, who really hasn't signed the most extreme abortion bans into law yet, you know, he has only signed one anti-abortion bill into law in his political career as governor. So he's looking for something to also put into his track record. But he wants to do so in a way that by November of 2022, the hope is that Democrats don't remember. And Republicans keep referring to this bill as being reasonable. And this is a talking point that they keep trying to basically use to mislead the public and trying to paint this abortion ban as not being a big deal. And we're here to remind folks that any new restriction on abortion is extreme. And for those who have means to leave the state, it'll be a barrier, but they will still have the ability to express bodily autonomy. The folks I am most concerned about are those who don't have resources to leave the state. It's going to be poor people, undocumented people, people with disabilities who are much more likely to experience sexual assault compared to others. It's going to be folks that really have nowhere else to turn. And it's Florida lawmakers who vote for this bill that are turning their backs on these Floridians, which unfortunately is all too common because this is a body that prioritizes wealthy individuals and corporations over working class and poor Floridians. And we're here to make sure those folks are not forgotten and that they have the same ability to express bodily autonomy as anyone else.
Are you then thinking beyond session? You know, it sounds like the bill, it could well be signed into law by the governor. So are you thinking like, what are the next steps, whether it's something you can do as a lawmaker or something that may need to be done to help folks who would be seeking that kind of medical care and wouldn't be able to find it in Florida?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, most folks probably know that before I ran for office, I worked at Planned Parenthood of Southwest and Central Florida. And before that, I was a Planned Parenthood patient. So these issues are really personal to me, not just as a woman, but as someone who has really committed her life to equity, prioritizing the needs of women and girls. And so we are thinking beyond session. I mean, the reality, as you already outlined, is that we're up against a partisan breakdown that is the result of voter suppression and gerrymandering that has created a legislative body that does not reflect the everyday needs of majority of Floridians. And this is a body that wants to pass a 15-week abortion ban and right now is on track to do so. And so we have to think beyond this. Now, you know, I suspect there will be some sort of litigation strategy. I'm not privy to that. But what I do know is we can't leave patients without access to care. So we already see efforts to mobilize abortion funds so that there is going to be the opportunity for funding resources for those patients who need to leave the state of Florida. And in conversations with my colleagues in other states that are much more supportive of reproductive health, you already see efforts to prepare for more patients. And we saw that in the case of Texas, where there was a flow of Texans leaving the state to access a procedure. Even Mexico, which recently legalized abortion, activists in Mexico are stepping up to provide support to Texas women. Like, that's how dire the situation is, where we have to look towards our sister states, even sometimes sister countries, to be a resource for people. Because here in the United States of America, we no longer have a strong track record in bodily autonomy for every person.
Do you think, just to wrap things up here, Representative, do you think that there is some middle ground? Like, is there any likelihood that, at least in the House, lawmakers who are in support of this bill may come some way towards where you are coming from? Or, like, is there some compromise to be had here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. The reality is that abortion is already heavily restricted and regulated in states across this country, including Florida. You know, right now in Florida, we have the viability ban. We have a required pamphlet provided to patients. We have ultrasound requirements. And of course, 24-hour mandatory delay, which is still being litigated, but is still in law. And so I would argue that a compromise is to leave people alone. Stop making this issue political. You don't see movement in the offense around this issue. And there is no reason for Republicans to be continuously pushing to ban. No one's asking for this policy. And so I think the compromise is to lay your hand off our bodies and let us express our personal decisions, much like anyone else is able to do on other medical conditions and issues. And let's focus on areas of prevention. You know, if you truly want to reduce the rate of abortion and that is your goal, there are some smart, thoughtful, evidence-based ways to do that that don't shame and judge individuals for making this decision.
State Representative Ana Eskamani, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.